You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Acknowledge the privilege that's ours here, and to give thee thanks. At the same time, we are cognizant of our limitations in a very special way concerning these introductory remarks about the subject and how many great rivers flow into this subject that makes it so hard to lay a proper foundation. And consequently, we pray for grace in a very special way that we may be able to make these things clear so that thy people will be able to comprehend and have thy faithfulness, thy testimony to stand upon. They may speak with authority concerning these things. They may strengthen them in the inner man. They may be built up in the most holy faith. And if by chance that someone is here who does not know Jesus, may the Spirit of God move in that heart until they become restless, until they come to rest in Christ. Thank you for attending this, Father, because we ask this grace in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. To pull our thinking together, remember we started on this last week and we saw how that in the first verse of Genesis, I think that Ms. Wright went out there. Elaine? Ms. Wright went to take care of that. So if that's what you're going for, you don't have to. Last week we were looking at the creation in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And verse 2, in most of your Bibles, we'll read, and the earth was. And that's not a bad translation if you understand what the word was in the context. We took several instances throughout the Bible to demonstrate what the force of that verb is. Namely, that it is not something that did not have a development toward that end. In other words, the verb literally means, indicates a previous existence and a change having taken place. You might say, in other words, Mr. McLean was a minister at Northside Bible Church. And that's true, but it isn't actually all true. Mr. McLean became the minister. In other words, I became that as a result of this church being here. Now, this is the force of this verb. God did not create a chaos. He created a cosmos. Order. Exactly the opposite. We're looking last week at some of the testimony of Scripture to that end. And I want to turn, if you will, with me to Jeremiah real quickly to let you see the same wording as we have in Genesis. In chapter 4 of Jeremiah, we had a quick look at this last week, but I want to spend a little more time on it this time. Jeremiah 4, beginning at verse 23. And you'll compare this with verse 2 of Genesis 1. This is a passage where Jeremiah the prophet is looking back at the creation and the awful chaos that took place there later, and he's warning the nation of Israel, if they don't shape up, this type of chaos is going to befall them. And he uses this vision that he had to tell what happened. Verse 23, notice exactly the same language. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. Or better still, it became without form and void. And the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and the hills moved lightly. And I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. And I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. So that verse 2 of Genesis 1 tells us of a calamity, a chaos that took place. today the creationists and the evolutionists are fighting about windmills, because science, true science, does not disagree with the Word of God. Science says this planet is millions of years old. I don't know how old it is. I could care less. I only know that God created the heavens and the earth, and He did not create it a chaos. It became that. And you remember in the reading of the Scripture in Jeremiah there, the awful chaos that happened, it says all the cities thereof were broken down, which tells us of a pre-Adamic civilization. So that in verse 3 through verse the rest of the first chapter of Genesis, what you have is a recreation, a reconstruction. These 6 days, and Adam being made on the sixth day. From Adam to the present time, we know from the chronology of Scripture, we can trace the lineages clear through to the birth of Christ. And so from Adam to Christ is exactly 4,000 years. We know that. And from Adam, from the birth of Christ until the present day is 1,985 years, not 81. The calendar has a four-year mistake in it. There's only 15 more years to the year 6,000. Now, that civilization, we have fragmentary truths all through Scripture to reveal to us what it was. In the 14th chapter of Isaiah, we have the first hints of it. And begin reading from 12, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Thou said in thy heart, I will ascend into heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also set upon the mount of the congregation the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. Begin reading in verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and the gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes prepared in thee. In the day that thou wast created, thou art the anointed cherub that covers. I've set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in all in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. Verse 17. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. I was corrupted thy wisdom by the reason of thy brightness. Notice again the wording. It's the created being. His name is Lucifer, which means morning star. In all the pagan religions, Lucifer is worshipped in the morning as a male god, in the evening as a female. Incidentally, the morning star and the evening star are both the same. I don't know if you knew that or not. Notice the brightness of this person, the wisdom, the beauty. Notice again, as I quote from back from Isaiah 14, I will ascend, I will become, I. Turn, if you will, now to Revelation in chapter 12. There's coming a time when this creature will be actually cast down to the ground. But I want you to notice who he is and how powerful he is. I begin reading at verse 3, Revelation 12, 3. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 horns, heads, and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew, notice, a third part of the stars of heaven, did cast him to the ground, to the earth, And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child. Verse 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was there found place any more in heaven. And the great red dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in him, and woe to the inhabitants of earth and the sea. The devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time. Now this creature is acknowledged by Scripture itself. And I'll just write these down, because if we take the time to read every one of these, that's all we'll be doing, reading the Scripture. But I want to bring this home to you real powerful this morning, if I can. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, Satan is called the God of this world. In 2 Corinthians 11:14, he's called an angel of light. In Ephesians 2:2, he's called the prince of the power of the air. And as we read a while ago, Lucifer, the bright of the morning star. And we read in Ezekiel, he was overcome by his own brightness, by his own wisdom. As we read in Revelation, he controls a third of the stars of heaven. In the book of Job, in chapter, turn there hurriedly to one more scripture so we can get on to our lesson. Turn to the book of Job. That precedes the book of Psalms. Most of you know how to find the Psalms. Chapter 38, speaking of the angelic world as they beheld the creation. Verse 7. The morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy. We learn in other scriptures that God named all the stars. Every star in heaven has a name. We don't know all the names. We have a remnant of names left to us. But we know enough about it to know this, that the stars of heaven are named after the angelic beings. And they tell a story by their very names. And we read a while ago in Revelation 11, one third of that starry host are in rebellion against the King of Heaven. There's a warfare going on there, and has been, that's unbeknown to us. It's an invisible thing. I guess we better take one more scripture to point this out to you. Daniel chapter 10. Begin reading at verse 11. I'm just giving the textual verses. You'll have to read the whole context yourself. This is a case of Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, sent to carry a message to Daniel in Babylon. And we read in verse 11 as he addressed Daniel. He said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent, and when he had spoken the word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand, to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince, or the ruler, of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, another angel, archangel, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. Verse 20, Then said he unto me, Knowest thou that I come unto thee, and now I will return to the fight with the prince of Persia. When I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece will come, and I'll show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and so on. I read that to you to let you see Get the story in your mind. God dispatched Gabriel to visit Daniel. The warfare was so heavy, he was held up for 21 days until Michael, the archangel, the angel of Israel, came to his assistance. Took up the warfare so Michael could go on. A strange warfare up there. It's all carried on by words of authority. For instance, in Jude, you have, I think most of you are familiar with this passage, but I'll just quote it to you. You have Satan contesting for the body of Moses. And Michael does not argue the case with Satan. He said, Jehovah rebuke thee. That settled the argument. So that there is a warfare there that's based upon authority. You remember the days of our Lord's flesh, how Satan came to test Jesus. In three different occasions, he moved with all the power of hell, testing first in the things of the flesh, and then in the things of the spirit, and then in the things of his calling. The last one was, he said to our Lord, if thou be the Son of God, fall down and worship me, and I'll give thee all the kings of this world. And our Lord finally answered and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, I shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. He beat him with words. See, there's no physical contact at all. Authority is what counts. And so it is today. The only thing that really means anything in the long run is authority. Today we have people expressing their opinions about this thing or that thing without any authority to back it up. We have to take our position that the Word of God is what it is. It is God's revelation to man. It's all we need. We don't need anything else. As we read here, the Scriptures God-breathed, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, in order that the man of God may be perfect, completely equipped. The Word of God is your equipment. And you need the right invited to handle it right. That's just the tools. You need to know how to handle it. I think I've shown you enough to let you begin to see what that civilization was that brought about that great calamity. It was led by the insurrection of Satan himself. Now he was cast out of the mountain of God. Remember we read it in Ezekiel 27? Thou hast been in the mountain of God, cast out, and he was there till iniquity is found in you. He was the anointing cherub. You remember the cherub, the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies on earth here, which was made after the pattern of things in the heavens? Satan was the angel who guarded the mercy seat in heaven. He controlled a third of the angelic host, or angelic beings of heaven. And when he's finally cast out in the end of time, he will bring with him to this planet a third of the angelic authorities of heaven. Hence, Paul says in Ephesians, we wrestle not against blood and flesh, but against demonic spirits in the heavenlies. That's where the warfare is. The influence that they have right now, they have more demons in this room right now than we are people. And the words that they don't want you to hear, they're going to take out. So it's very, very necessary that the Spirit of God guide us into all truth here this morning. Now coming back to Genesis. Notice the testimony of God again in His faithfulness. The latter part of verse 2. After this creation, after this struggle came. And remember, we saw last week one other thing. So many rivers we have to draw together to see what we want to see. We notice that there are two great lines of thought in the Bible. Things before the foundation of the world and things since the foundation of the world. Now this chaos that took place is the dividing line between the things that are before the foundation of the world and the things that follow. We saw what that word foundation was last week. It's a little Greek word, not the ordinary word for foundation. It's a little Greek word, kata bole. Kata means down, and bole means to cast, the casting down. This is the dividing line in verse 2 of Genesis 1. Now we begin to look at another line. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. That word moved there is the Hebrew word for brooded, like a little hen brooding over her chickens. Brooded over the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Notice the first thing he did. He made a division, a separation between light and night, light and darkness. It's not day and night here. It's light and darkness. The sun doesn't come into the picture here till the fourth day. You'll note that. But at the very outset, when he began to move, he separated light from darkness. You see the importance of that in a minute. And God saw the light. It was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Notice, he divided it from the darkness. He did not say the darkness was good. He said the light was. And God called the light day, and darkness he called night. The evening and the morning were the first day, or day one. And God said, let there be a firmament, or a space, if you will, in the midst of the waters. And let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which are under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. Evening and morning were the second day. You'll notice each one of these days, beloved, God calls good, except the second day. And the restoration of the things of this earth and of heaven, he did not call it good. You know why? Because the third of the angelic world is not good. Turn with me to 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 5. 2 Peter 3, 5. For this they are willingly ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, are the same kept in store to be reserved unto fire. Genesis 1, 2 is the world that then was, beginning at verse 3, as the world as it is now. The world as it is now, the verse 2 tells us that he did not call it good. Everything else he calls good, you'll notice that. Beginning next in Genesis 9, verse 9. God said that the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and that the dry land appear. And it was so. Remember Peter talking about the waters there. Now notice it's not the flood that followed in Noah's day. This is something entirely different. And God called the dry land earth, and gathered together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. God said, the earth bring forth grass, herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, and whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. The seed was already there. God just brought it forth from the earth. After the waters were all receded, were brought forth. Everything, notice again, is after its kind. After its kind. Wheat produces wheat. It does not produce barley. In spite of all that man tries to do, it still works the same way. You'd think, it really isn't too big a deal if you stop and think about it. Verse 4, and the earth brought forth grass, herb-yielding seed, after his kind. Bermuda grass does not produce any other kind of grass. It produces Bermuda grass. After his kind, and the tree yielding fruit after his seed is in itself after his kind, and God saw it was good. And evening and morning were what? The third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven, divide the day from the night, let there be for signs and for seasons, for days and years, let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven, to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made, underscore that word, made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and he set them in the firmament, that is in space, of the heavens to give light upon the earth, and rule over the day and over the night, and divide the light from darkness, and God saw it was good. The evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now, we have two words that, notice, from verse 3, where we begin in the reconstruction or recreation, nothing is said about any creating at all. Everything is being made. The difference between creation and making is this. The Hebrew word for create is bara, which means to bring something into existence from nothing. The word for asa, which means to make something. You make something out of something that's already existence. The sun was not made until the fourth day. Get that in your mind. Everything God has called good. Now, beginning in the fifth day, we begin to see the word create appear. God said the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life and fowl and may fly by the earth in the open spaces of heaven. And God created great whales, every living creature that moves with the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, after their kind, every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw it was good. God blessed them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters. And fill the waters in the sea, and let the fowl multiply on the earth. And evening and morning were the fifth day. In other words, everything after its kind. See how brilliant the animal kingdom is. The birds produce birds, and they even narrow it down to the fact that you don't ever see a cardinal and a mockingbird going together. See, nature teaches you an awful lot if you listen. Cardinal's got more sense than you are, the mockingbird. Or maybe it's the other way around. They don't do that. Everything after its kind. Tigers and lions don't get along either. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. Cattle after creeping thing of the base of the earth after his kind. So God blessed the beast of the earth, his kind, cattle after their kind. And creeping things upon the earth after his kind was good. And God said, let us make man our image after our likeness. Verse 7, when he created man in his own image. Now I turn hastily because our time is gone, but I don't want to leave it there. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. We'll begin on this next Sunday on this point, but we're going to start it today, but we'll give it more in detail next week. Verse 15, Colossians chapter 1. The who is there is referring to Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. God is a spirit. You can't see him. The firstborn of all creation, not creature. All creation. Now that word firstborn is not the common word for firstborn. It's prototox. And it means an original of its kind. And in order for God to create man in his image, God had to take on creature form. Let me repeat that. He did not become a man now. Don't misunderstand me. We'll see that a little later. He took on creature form. That creature form, his clothing, his being, was clothed in the light. If you want the proof reference of that, Psalm 104, verse 2 or verse 4. God was clothed in light. Adam and Eve were too. Remember our Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration? He revealed what it was like when he showed Peter, James, and John himself in his glory. He took on that kind of a form. He took on a creature form in order to create man in God's image, a physical image. God is the invisible one. In verse 18 now, something else different. Colossians. He's the head of the body, that's the body of Christ, the church, which is the beginning, here's that word firstborn, from the dead. When Christ rose from the dead, he became the first in line of another type of being. But he was made, remember, not in the image of God, but in the image of man. Think about that. Philippians 2 tells us, although he was in the status of God, he thought not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form or the status of a servant, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. In Genesis 1, 26, 27, he took on creature form in order to create man in God's image. And when he came into this planet, he took on the form of a man because he had to die as a man. God, you see, God can't die. Only man can do that. Hence, we read in Romans, the first chapter, verse 3 and 4, you have his deity expressed there and his humanity. He is the God, the very God. He is man, the very man. That's a mystery, and Paul says so without controversy. Great is the mystery of God, that God was manifest in the flesh. Sure hate to stop there because our time's gone. But I think, as I say, you've got to be patient with me because there's so much material in here. But what I want you to see in the blank of your mind right now is that when people talk today about foolishness, that this planet's only 6,000 years old, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches the other thing. It teaches you that a great civilization died long before Adam was ever created. He was not a man. The very demons that were on this planet, everywhere our Lord went, knew who Jesus Christ was. And they say, have you come to deal with us before our time? They are the debauched spirits that came from that catastrophe that took place in Genesis 1-2. We'll see that later, but I'll just leave it with you. So Adam, the Adamic race of which Christ became a creature in order to create man in God's image. No other creature was ever created in God's image. Only man. Father, we thank you that we have the privilege to deal with this subject. And we recognize that it is a hard one to deal with, inasmuch as there is so much material that runs into this great stream of truth, flows and flows and flows. May the Holy Spirit be pleased, however, to sort these things out in the heart of your people in order that they may be well fortified to give to every man an answer for the reason of his hope. Thank you, Lord, for attending this, because your truth does make us free men. And we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.